If you have your Bibles, let's open them just for a few moments to the book of Esther. Esther, you ladies would remember that because it's a perfume, Esther Lauder. And you know, us pastors know all these things, purse styles and Louis Vuitton, and now here's Esther. So here we are, Esther chapter 1, and want to just kind of touch on some of these highlights. If I had a title to the message, it would be Women Power. Women Power. And we have two women mentioned in this book here, and we'll be talking about their influence. And we're not going to leave the men out, not going to leave the teenagers out, but it's something very practical here. Jose, can you see? Okay, good. Really, there is someone named Jose here, and he just waved at me. I wasn't singing. So Esther, I want to just read just a few of these verses. If you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to turn it off or put it on vibrate, that would be a big help for everybody. And again, if you're visiting, we're delighted you're here. Delighted you're here. Esther chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is the Ahasuerus that reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. And verse 3, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants. The power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of provinces being before him. Last part of verse 4, the feast lasted 180 or 104 days. Verse 6, the last phrase, the beds were of gold and silver. Verse 7, they drank their drink in vessels of gold. Wow. I've never been to a party like that. I've been to one that lasted an hour and they sang happy birthday and it was it, 180 days. What a party. So we're going to talk about women power for a moment. You have to kind of listen. I'll give you the background, then we'll go right into the story. Here we are. Father, bless now the brief time we have. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were to take the book of Esther and divide it up, it would make a great Broadway play. It has a beautiful woman in it. There is a hero in the story. There is an evil villain. There's a lot of suspense. It's a surprise ending and a lot of humor in it. Many scholars for years thought the book of Esther was not inspired because the word God in any form is not mentioned in the book. Lord, God, Jesus, no mention at all. But really, he is making appearances all throughout the book. The theme of this book of the Bible would be the providence of God in the lives of his people. In other words, everything God allows or does is for his glory and eventually for our good. We could just shorten it and say, God is for you. God is for you. Some of you, maybe you've lived your whole life and you feel like God is against you. That's a lie of the devil. He is for you. And we're going to just look at these different scenes here. Each of the characters represents someone. We have the king, of course, representing the king. We have Mordecai. He's introduced. He represents Jesus in some parts of the story. We have Esther that's introduced, and she represents you and I, Christians. And then we have Haman that's introduced. He's the villain. He represents Satan. When the Jews would read this book, oftentimes, if they read it in school or in public or in college, anytime they mentioned the word Haman, the villain, they'd start booing. Boo! I mean, during the reading of the book. And anytime Mordecai was mentioned, they would cheer. Isn't that amazing? So here we are. Just want to chop it up, give you some thoughts here, and here we go. Number one, we have the feast. Here's a king that's very wealthy. Kind of sounds like America. A lot of power. People are seeking power. They are seeking money. And he was flaunting this. What a huge, huge feast. During the middle of the feast, all these men are drunk. And the king calls his wife, whose name is Vashti. What's her name? Vashti. Any Vashtis here today? Okay. Her name's Vashti. And amongst the drunkenness, the king says, I want you to make an appearance at the men's feast, men only. And what I want you to wear is your crown. What he was saying was, all I want you to wear is your crown. It was a lustful party, and he was going to show off, the Bible said, her beauty. And I love what the Bible says in chapter 1, and you'll have to read it all later. I can't read it all, but it says she refused. She says, I know I'm married to you, king. I ain't doing it. It's never right to do wrong for anybody. Whether it's an authority tells you to, there's a higher authority, and it's always this book right here. And so she refused. And then I love it. All the men get nervous. And it says, they get together and said, we're in trouble. Because our wives are going to think they don't have to obey us. We got problems. And it says that every man should bear rule, verse 22. So to me, it's very humorous. All the men got nervous. Vashti didn't do what her husband said. Now, all the women are going to believe in ERA. So we see next what takes place. The king fires the queen. Vashti is out of a job, unemployed. Next we see in chapter 2, the pageant. Says, verse 2, then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. So they have a beauty pageant, and they're looking for the most beautiful. Many of you women would have been chosen. Just want you to know. And so they're looking for the most beautiful woman in the kingdom. And guess who's chosen? Esther. Let me say this by background. God knows exactly where you are. He knows what you look like. He knows your race. He knows your background, where you live. Oft time, God takes who we are and how we've been raised to use us to touch the lives of other people. If she wasn't beautiful, she wouldn't have been in the story. She wouldn't have been picked. And so we see that she wins this beauty contest here. Fair and beautiful at chapter 2. And then if you'll look a little bit further down into verse number 21 of chapter 2. We see number 3, and I'll give you the points, just hang on. We see the coup. C-O-U-X, C-O-U-P-S, I don't know how you spell it, where they're trying to overthrow the king. Spelling bee, help me. It's an X in there somewhere, isn't it? Nope, maybe not. So anyway, there's a coup. And the Bible says, in those days while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door were wroth, sought to lay hand on the king. The thing was known to Mordecai. He told it to Esther the queen. Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. When the inquisition was made further, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree. And it was written in the book of Chronicles. So hurry up. Here we go. Here we go. So here we are. So somehow there's a conspiracy. Two men are going to kill the king. It's found out, they're hung. It's written in the history books of Israel, the book of Chronicles. Got it? So there's the coup. And then we see number 4, we see the fourth scene here in chapter number 3. We see the villain introduced. His name is Haman. His name is Haman. He's the king's right-hand man. Look down at verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. For the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. And when Haman, verse 5, saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Just want to say this. There's a king of this planet. His name is Satan. He wants to be reverenced. You remember when Jesus was tempted, he said, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll bow down and worship me. So Haman, the power had gone to his head. He's very proud. He was strutting. I need some guys that know how to strut when you walk. Can I get a few volunteers? I just need 2 or 3 guys so we know what it looks like. Come on, help me. Help me, okay? All right, Jaden, here we go. We'll give you a rose. here. Okay. Hey, Charles. Hey. Come on, Charles. Okay, Charles. Charles, you're first. Show us how to strut like you. You are rich and you own a lot. Give him a hand. All right. Jaden, here we go. Strut. Just kind of show us what you think Haman kind of looked like. That's not strutting. That's dandruff. We got another strutter. No other strutter. Well, give them both a hand. Good job. So here is Haman. He's strutting through town. Everyone's bowing. It was a law. Mordecai the Jew, he's standing. And it just irked Haman to no end. He got so angry. Notice what happens here. Because of his anger in verse number 8, Haman said to the king, "There's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people of all the provinces of the kingdom, and their laws are diverse." He said, "King, there's people in our kingdom that's different than us. I would like to have them all killed." It was like the Hitler thing, the Holocaust. I want them all killed because they're different. Hey, aren't you glad we're all different? I'm glad we're not cloned and everybody looks exactly the same. Different sizes, different facial features, different talents, different ability. We're all different. And God's made us that way. And so they make a law that on a certain day, 13th day of the 12th month, all the Jews will be killed. They've now posted it. They've emailed it. They've Twittered it. They've blocked. Well, no, not really. But they nailed the posters to the telephone poles and... No, not really. But they got the word out. All the Jews are dying. So the city's perplexed. Verse 15. They didn't know what to do. So here's the dilemma. People are weeping. They're fasting. Esther hears about it. She's the queen. She's a Jew. She's going to die. And guess what she does? She meets with Mordecai, her uncle. And he says, what's this about? She said, you know, I just heard myself. And he said, don't think that you're not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai looks at Esther and says, this is your time. This is what you were made for. This is your opportunity to do what God created you for. And I want to say this. Many of you mothers, you may not have your name in the lights. You may not have a Hollywood star in Hollywood for people to look down and admire. You may not be in Who's Who or something like that, but you may fulfill the purpose for which you were made. You may raise a kid that changes the world. You may influence a grandchild that changes everything about society for the better. And so he says, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Esther said, but you can't just walk in and talk to the king. If you walk in unannounced, you get killed unless he holds up his royal scepter. And she says, well, if I perish, I perish. I love that statement. In other words, she says, I'm going for it. I'm going to save my people. So we see the next act here. We see the turn of events. We see the turn. I just love it. We don't have time to read it all. About this time, Queen Esther, she's pretty smart. She knows men like to eat. That's a smart woman right there. She says, O king, I would like to have a banquet just for you. And for Haman, that's it, just us three. He said, okay, well, what's this about? She said, I'll tell you later. They have this banquet. Haman is strutting. He comes home, tells his wife, Zeresh, says, hey, no one was invited but me, the queen, and the king. How you like that? Wow. They're eating sumptuously. And the king says, so, O Queen Esther, what is it that you want? And she says, if you will... make the banquet tomorrow, and I'll tell you then. Where's God? All the Jews are going to die on the 12th month, the 13th day. Where is God? Have you ever asked him that in your life? I'm going through some trials. We're going through some valleys. Where is he? Where were you when my parents split up? Where were you when the wreck took place? Where were you when we got the phone call and they said it was cancer? Where were you? And we could all ask that question. I tell you where he was, where he's always been, everywhere. And he's working behind the scenes. God never loses at chess. God's train may be slow, but it is always on time. He's working on the details that you haven't even seen yet. He's working on it, working on it. He's involved. He may be unseen, but he's never uninvolved in your life. He loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. And so there it is. Oh, I love this. Chapter number 6, enter God. So here it is, chapter 6, verse 1. On that night, could not the king sleep? He watched the late movie, watched the news, checked his emails, checked on his carrier pigeons, and he commanded the king to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king. Now, if you know the Bible well at all, the book of Chronicles, most people skip it because it's a lot of names, a lot of births, a lot of deaths, a few stories tucked in there. Most people say, no, I'm not going to read that. The king picks up the history, the Bible, and that's the book he decides to read of all books. And guess what they read to him? Bigtha and Teresh saved the king's life. And he says, do what? He said, I've never heard this. When did this happen? And they told him. And he said, what has been done for this man, Mordecai, for saving my life? And his servant said, nothing, O king. And about that time, Haman, he has built gallows for Mordecai. His wife, Teresh, said, if Mordecai is giving you a hard time, build some gallows like 50 feet high and hang him tomorrow. So the king says, I can't sleep. What has been done for him? Nothing. And about that time, Haman's at the door. God is working. Haman is at the door of the king's room. And the king says, who is worthy? Who's available right now? They said, Haman's at the door. He said, Haman, come in. And he says, Haman, what should the king do for the man he wishes to honor? A man that I want to honor. And Haman thinks, who would the king want to honor but me? Second, humor. Who would the king want to honor beside me? He said, O king, I would put your crown upon his head. I would put your garments upon his back. I would take your royal stallion and have an honorable man lead the horse through the streets and shout, hail, hail, because of the king, hail. And the king said, that's a great idea. Go and do that. Put Mordecai on the horse and you lead the horse through the streets. I just love it. You know, Satan thinks he runs this world. He thinks he's the prince and power of the air and he's going to win. He's not. One day Satan will be leading that horse and it'll be Jesus on that horse as King of Kings. He's starting to come down. He leads Mordecai through town. He's humiliated. Hail to the king. Hail. And he's honoring Mordecai. He's humiliated. He goes home. You can read the story. He tells his wife Zeresh what happened. She said, you know, Mordecai's a Jew. It looks like you're coming down. She told him to build the gallows. And then she says, it looks like you're going down. About that time, there's a knock on the door. Time for the banquet. Time for the banquet. And it is Haman. He's escorted into the banquet. And the king says, all right, Esther. Now, you've got my curiosity up. We had a banquet yesterday. What is it you want? She said, there is a man in the kingdom wanting to kill all the Jews. And I'm a Jew. I'll be killed too. And he has put posts and he's announced it all over the kingdom and the date is fast approaching. And the king rises from supper. They would be reclined. They would have been like laying down on couches, eating off of a coffee table like table. He stands up in fury and walks out. He says, what man would do this? And Esther points across the table and says, this wicked Haman. The king stands, walks out on the balcony or out on the porch. He's fuming. Third humor, Haman is going to plead for his life. He knows it. He starts to approach the queen, trips and falls on the couch right next to her. And the king comes in and says, what? You're going to take advantage of my wife right here in my own house? I slept. About that time, he stands and the servants put a bag over Haman's head. And the king says, what should be done? And one of the servants said, well, there's some brand new gallows over here Haman just built for Mordecai. And the king said, hang him on those. He takes the ring off of Haman's hand, gives it to Mordecai. Basically gives him keys to everything that Haman owns. And I just want to say, one day Jesus will rule and reign here forever. Amen. Evil will not get away forever. Yeah. It may look like evil is winning and crime pays and wickedness and selfishness. Take advantage of everybody that you can and every man for themselves. But God one day will judge this world and it'll be righteousness, it'll be peace, it'll be joy, it'll be the way it ought to be. Yeah. So they hang him. And then about that time, the queen says, O king, they're still going to kill all the Jews. It's been announced all over the kingdom. What can we do? He said, send posts, Pony Express, if you will. Put riders on horses, have them give the news out to everyone. The execution is off. The Jews are saved. It's all done. Esther has saved the Jews. Mordecai is now reigning in the city. That's why we run the buses. We're the posts. We're just getting the good news out. Hey, you don't have to die and go to hell. Jesus saves. He paid the price. If I perish, I perish. And Jesus has paid for heaven for us. And so they had a great celebration. Until this day, it's called the Feast of Purim. And it is a feast that the Jews were spared. Now, what does all this mean for you? Several things. One, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. The valleys and the mountains. The tough times and the good times. Well, why is this? God will use it. God will use it. I don't know how many people in our church right now, major health issues. Major health issues. God will use it. God will use it. He never loses the providence of God in the lives of his people. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die, you're here for a reason. All you've been going through in recent days has been God trying to draw you to him to get you to that cross. He'll use bad things. He'll use good things. And the whole purpose is to get you up in heaven one day where there is no bad anymore. What a great story. What a great story. You're in there somewhere. Let's be those getting the good news out. We're free. We don't have to die eternally.